How do everyone? Welcome to the Potty Mouth Special. Yes, Flower Special. We have got the full band back together again. Yes, and there's some amateurs on this show today as well. And I'll stick my hand up. And I think that fella there is an yes. There's a few amateurs on this show today, and there's a few professionals. Well, I've got it sorted, so all the professionals are on the bottom. So Audrey, I'm looking at you as like the main, our main leader in this. You started this. It's all down to you. You picked Winter Gear with Flowers this year. So
Okay.
how are you doing? Are you good?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Just looking forward.
It's early here. I'm not an early bird. I'm
No, I
a
know.
night owl.
No.
So, that's how
Well,
committed I am to flowers.
I
I'm here.
appreciate you. Yes, appreciate you coming on. Sof, nice to have you. Yes, and you're another big flower instigator as well. So, and
Yes.
Sof, what I would like to do with you, Sophie, is if you don't mind, anything we talk about, or you've got a list, I would like a list so we can have a list, and I'll stick it in the Discord. So any plants that or flowers that we're talking about, people like there's a little record. If you come to Discord, there's a link in the description to join Discord. I'm not going to explain what Discord is, but it's a great little place for all gardeners. But we'll get Soph to compiling lists. So we'll
I'm
get.
gonna
Oh, look at
dig.
there's a pen there already, man. You know what I mean? So
All right.
we'll get Sophie to kind of write everything we're doing, because honestly it's like it's all new to me. And if I've got like a little list where, oh, I'll buy some of them seeds, some of them. So would you be kind enough to do that, Soph? That would be fantastic.
Absolutely. I'm on it.
Jesse, another professional flower grower there, and I see I'm presuming they are your own cut daffodils there. They're certainly not, they don't look like a Morrison's 1 pound bunch. I'm hoping not, anyways, you know what I mean? So
They're not mine. They're not mine. They're bought. I
it's
know. I couldn't. If they came out this early, there's no way I would have the oomph to cut them. I'd just be so excited about them being out.
well,
They
it's
wouldn't be in a vase.
Jess, it's the effort. It's the effort you've made. None of else. I mean, JB's area there is looking not flowery at all. Do you know what I mean? At least I've got a
Those chilies will flower one day.
one
So,
day.
one day. That counts. So
JB's
many
lovely to
wires
have you
everywhere.
on as well. And JB, I'm guessing you're exactly, honestly, it's like I'm so well out of my depth. I can, I've planted Cosmo and I forget what Aster, I think it might have been Audrey that I planted last year. That's my equipment.
Zinnias, Tommy.
Right. So I've got that wrong.
Doesn't even know.
So if I go quiet or JB goes quiet, we're going to look towards Mark, because I think Mark out of all the way
Goodness.
here is the top flower grower. You know
I
what I
don't,
mean?
I'm not convinced
I
myself.
know.
Oh.
Well, actually, Mark, you did say, which was a great point, that you're interested in like companion planting flowers. Yeah, you've got flowers
Yes.
in your garden home, but you know what I mean, the kind of, and that's a great thing and lovely for your plot to look like, to have flowers. So that's, I never even thought of that, Mark. So
Ones that are beneficial to the crops that I'm growing. So I do have a list prepared because I told myself, I think I told myself this like 2021 that I was going to learn for 2022 about companion planting and flowers, and I never did. I learned the marigold for good, and that was about it. But this year, I've put a little bit more effort in, and I've got myself an actual list of 11 flowers or plants that I'm going to grow and have them around the plot to do certain jobs with certain other crops, and they're going to be spot on.
So is it marigolds
Nice.
and tajits? Is
That's about as far as, yeah, it's just 11 different varieties of them.
one more level up. You know what I mean? Mighty, I did the kind of the marigolds and all that and tajits in there, and I guess, I mean, now I've got the kind of membrane in the polytunnel, but the self-seeding was just fantastic with them things. Do you know what I mean? Like the amount, and even when you buy the seeds, them you get a ton in. You know what I mean? So Audrey, if someone's wanting to do flowers in a garden, let's say, I'm not saying like an allotment, but anywhere, where do we start?
Like, what's an easy one to grow?
An easy one to grow. Yeah, let's see it. Let's start with that one.
Okay, what I sent you was like, I think one of the easiest ones to grow is a zinnia. And
I only got a
they grow.
couple.
They go big. There's lots of color choices. They're very, they just keep producing. If you cut them, they keep getting more.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, to me, that's one of the diehard followers for the garden. Absolutely.
And there's, you know, like, as a broad spectrum, then, flowers, do we have to kind of have heat, like chilies, kick them off with heat first, or can we?
No. I mean, sometimes I think heat helps anything, kind of, unless it's Nebraska, they kind of like cooler, maybe. But if it's a summer flower, sure, heat will always help, but you don't have to. It's just, it helps them along a wee bit if you want it, but they'll be fine without that.
So, zin is it, so if make a note, zinnia, you know what I mean? Number one, zinnia.
They're good. Good
I just
choice.
think it's kind of foolproof, that one.
Right.
One thing I will
Zinnia's
say
the
about
one.
zinnias. Oh, sorry, go, Jesse.
No, you go.
No. I was going to say, one thing I will say about zinnias and something that I'm being really quite careful about this year is they do not like being transplanted at all. They will sulk and just die instantly. So some of those seed cell trays that you guys have got where it just kind of pop open, I think if you're doing zinnias, that would probably be the ideal solution for them, if not soil blocking. So you can just plop them straight in the ground without disturbing them, but they hate it. Absolutely, I lost so many last time I tried to move them around. So yeah, just a word of warning.
Oh, okay. That's
I wouldn't have known that, to be honest, Soph.
yeah, I'm kind of
They throw
brutal
a
with
shock.
mine. I'm surprised. Yeah.
That's one of the big things I've noticed about flowers is the back of the majority of seed packets I've found say that they're going to prefer direct sowing. And I find when you get to May, that can be really tricky because you got to direct sow into a weedy bed. And if you clear the weeds, you know, the weeds quite often are going to grow faster than the flower seed. So does anyone have any like methods to get around the weed issue in direct sowing if you can't transplant something? Do you just let it go? Let nature take its
Well,
course.
I think it works really well with the things that you sow in late summer to flower the next year, because you can like clear the weeds and things aren't growing quite so quickly and they can really establish. Like, I found that way of sowing, like things like the cornflowers and stuff, works so well, the late summer sowing, rather than starting. I never find with those, that's like, where are they? Oh, I've lost them. Never mind. I did have some here just to show. Oh no, there they are. Like the black ball ones, you know, the really, really dark ones.
Oh, they're
When
lovely.
these, like with so many of the flowers we're talking about, like the calendula and stuff, when they re-sow and the tagetes, it's like if they get their head start really, really super early or the year before, they just grow brilliantly. Like with the lychnis is the same if it's the year before, like from the early flower seed. They're just so strong. It's like a carpet. It's brilliant. Never had any luck sowing them in the spring, though, even though it says you can.
So, Jess, are you putting them in rows in late summer?
A patch. Basically, it's like the bit of our big asparagus bed that some of them are really, really strong, going in like an L shape, and then I've got this patch where the two crowns in there aren't doing so well. And I've basically given up on them. So I've got this like open ground bit of patch, which is kept completely weed free because of the rest of the asparagus. So like you were saying, where it's really difficult to sow at that time of year because the ground is just like everything's already up. Or you have to whip out anything that's kind of self-seeded in there as well, which is always a pain. But if you're doing it like late summer, and then an asparagus bed is a really good spot because you're like on it all the time, weed-wise, not on it, like walking on it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you have any more thoughts or not, or before you kind of
I
get it?
just yeah the other one of the I'm just talking about reasons I don't like flowers, which isn't the aim, but we'll get it out of the way
Outrageous.
first. The other thing that I've always found really tricky is biennials, so the ones that you're talking about that you sow the year before to flower later, because this is the time of year where I start thinking about flowers. Jess, my fiance, is starting to get much more on top of it with flowers, but she's still the same. You know, it gets to January, February, we're starting to get the propagators out, the lights, the heat mats for the chilies. We think, oh, what flowers can we do? It's like, oh, we should have done them all in August already.
Yeah,
Well,
that's the flower season.
some of the
That's when
nicest
it starts.
biennials You have to start a little bit earlier, which I always just, you know, forget about. You know, that's like tomatoes and chilies, like harvests and all that kind of thing. And you've got to switch on your flower brain a little bit earlier. So, yeah, maybe the list, Soph, might have to be a bit more annuals focused, or, you know, ones that we can start February, March. And then try and remind everyone. We've got to do another flower special in like August, September.
So are these flowers, Jess, are these flowers, you know, once you saw them in that, can you, let's say, I don't know, November, can you see an actual plant there in your soil? Or are we waiting for, like, say, this year for it actually to germinate?
No, so it's more like, so if the flowers are going to flower in like July, for example, the first of those flowers go over, dry off, drop their seed, and that's the sowing of them for the following year. So they've sown the ground, and then you, so that's the time that they would normally, and they start off and they get to sort of this sort of size, and then they just sit there over winter,
right,
doing nothing. But then by the time the spring comes along, they're these absolutely beefy mammoth plants. It's like the time that the flower would naturally throw its seed on the ground. Like they've always been the strongest cornflowers for me. Like if I sow them in the spring or whatever, and then I get these kind of odd weedy ones come up, if I just leave them be, it's like the next year that you get the good whack of them.
It's already getting like advanced level for me. You're really, like, it's exactly what JB said there. It's just like, oh, you know, too much to think about.
Yeah, it's like, in terms of like that sort of like having a sort of seed bed of them, it's like things like nasturtiums or the calendula or the tagetes or something. Mm-hmm. If you just like decide to leave a patch and let them all go, they'll all come up like either like late winter, really, really early spring. And then you can just tease them apart and dot them across the rest of the allotment. Like you could just do kind of like, you know, transferring. I do that with the nasturtiums because the blooming fruit cage is at, like, comes up like grass, basically. There's so many of them in there. So that's an just dot them out, everyone. Nasturtiums are great because you can't mistake them for anything else.
Mm-hmm. That's very
true.
Not just
transplanting weeds, which I have done a number of times.
Mark, any thoughts?
Well, just on the nasturtiums there that Jesse was talking about, I think was they're on my list to grow this year because apparently slugs, snails and aphids think they're like the best thing ever. It's like the greatest dinner they could ever possibly have. So grow loads and loads and loads of nasturtiums everywhere. Everything else around it about it just gets ignored. Whereas your nasturtiums, they'll get absolutely hammered, you know, stuff will come along and eat it left, right and centre. But all your stuff that's going around and about it doesn't get touched. Allegedly, everything comes with a disclaimer.
Jessie's looking like she's got opinions. Yeah.
So you're sacrificing flowers.
Sacrificial plants, yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. I've heard that, Mark, though. I've heard that, and like for caterpillars as well. And I've had like nasturtiums grown in compost bins covered in caterpillars. Do you know what I mean? And it's all right, yeah, nice.
Sacrificial, yeah. Like lavender was another one I was thinking about doing this year because he's mentioned caterpillars. Apparently, lavender keeps the butterflies away. It's like cabbage whites and things like that. So if you go to lavender near where you've got your brassicas, apparently it's a natural deterrent for butterflies.
Well, allegedly. Cool.
So with lavender, though, you're talking about like a bush it's going to be turned into a bush. So I guess you keep
on top of it. Yeah, you have to keep control of it. But I think, isn't lavender one of those things you'll get your email from, you know, Sutton's or whatever, buy 10,000 lavender plants for like $9.99 and they'll send them all out. Maybe they sort of grow them at the edge of the plot or something like that. Because where my beds come up to the edge of the fence, I've got a gap probably like that big. And it's just perfect to start putting different plants in it at the end of it. And so, something like that, they might just sort of keep the butterflies away or whatever. Maybe the job.
Because there is them gaps after raised beds, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Next to a fence, there's always that little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, I've never seen. Jess was agreeing with you. I've never seen Sutton send out like 100. I've seen lavender plants for like £20.
But the lavender plants are like this big, Tony. They come in like row, like plug rows of absolutely tiny, like tiny, tiny, like cuttings or just really small plants. And you do have to grow them on.
Right.
But you can get 1,000 of them for $10.
No, no, I was maybe just being a little bit flippant.
Mordy, yeah. That was just a Scottish sense.
I'm like, wow, I need to move immediately. Yeah,
you might get like 10 or something, perhaps.
Okay, because here it's like they're $20 a plant. So, yeah, wow.
No, well, I mean, Audrey, no, go on, Jess.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, if you go out and buy one that's like established in a pot, it'd be, yeah, like about £12 or something. But
no, I pay that for plug pants here. If I order plugs of lavender, they're not cheap.
Maybe we should start a new business, growing lavender from seed. I think we're onto something.
I got a lavender plant from a garden centre, £20. Honestly, nice big, you know, a nice size one. Didn't last, you know, it got killed in the one of the freezers over winter, and it was just like, yeah, okay, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, make notes.
Lavender. I have another one to add to that then. When I first started growing stuff and I had it all in my shed, one plant, which was really strange, it's not woodworm, the absinthe one. It's like the cola plant. I think that's what it is. And it's a beautiful smell, really strange. But I had that growing sporadically in little pots all around my shed. And anywhere that they were around or surrounding, aphids weren't near it. Like the same plants aphids were landing on somewhere else, wherever this little herb was, they wouldn't go near it. So I want to trial some of that this year because it's the only companion plant I've seen so far that's been effective with aphids. So don't know whether it will still be true, but... just trying that. I believe it is. I will sort of send it around in the list we make, but I'm pretty sure it's wormwood. I'm not sure. Wormwood or woodworm, either way.
Artemisia absinthium, as in the main ingredient in absinthe or the main flavor.
Yes. Yeah. That's the one.
It's got a crazy list of, you know, benefits and uses.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What's it look like, Sophie? What, describe it?
Beautiful. It's kind of like wispy and silvery. It's more of like a bush. I think it gets like yay tall. But yeah, quite nice. Again, if you wanted to use that in flower arrangements as well, great herb to put in there. But yeah, it's just really wispy.
JB, have you got any advice for me? Because I think sometimes I've shot myself in the foot on umpteen occasions where my polytunnel now is it's quad grow heaven. What would you suggest then for maybe putting plants in? Do I just
a nice it's not really a flower. I've had some mixed experiences trying to sneak marigolds and other flowering plants into the actual kind of quad grow pots, but you can do it. I've had some marigolds that have survived, so you can still have a nice little understory with your self-watering planters. One that works really well with tomatoes is basil. Technically flowering, but you can definitely give it a go trying to get some stuff established. Either I think my ones didn't succeed very well because I left them too long before transplanting them in. I've never sown stuff onto a quad grow pot. Might work quite well. Mm-hmm. You know, it can access that water quite readily. You know, it comes up quite high in the pot, so it's not like their roots or dry off or anything like that. But you can definitely experiment with some multi-cropping in a quad grow pot.
Well, I never thought of actually putting it, you know, like some, you know, tajits in it, like, or just one plant, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to kind of take up loads and starve you know what I mean? But maybe just one plant, because the fair grow, do you know what I mean? But I like that idea, mind you, of putting like a little basil plant in each one.
That works so well. Yeah. Just the smell. It's worth it for the smell alone, even if you don't get a harvest.
We haven't mentioned, I just wonder if anyone's got a bet on in the, you know, watching the live stream. Chili. There, what? How many minutes was that? Like 27 minutes. We're late this time. You know what I mean?
Did it already.
Oh, have you mentioned it?
Yeah, yeah. It was brief. It was a brief one.
Anything?
We should just go around the list. Take it in turns with your list. Who's next?
I haven't got a list.
I was just going to add one extra thing to the nasturtiums. I've never found them very good at deterring slugs and snails because their leaves hold a lot of moisture underneath. So although you find a lot of slugs and snails underneath them, they're not really eating the nasturtiums. Mm. They're just providing a beautiful, beautiful place for them to live. And then they creep out and eat everything else and come back. Mm. But what they are really good for aphids, and the other one that I found was really good, is that they're great for growing, if you've got red ones, to grow amongst strawberries, because it confuses whoever's going for your strawberries and they don't just see the fruit. Or that's what it seemed to me. I had them self-seeded ones. I had orange at one end, or like a yellowy color one kind of came up at one end. And then I had these really beautiful dark red ones, which grew up around one section of the strawberries, and I got all the fruit from those strawberries. Like the ones at the yellow end, all the
Yes,
strawberries got eaten.
that cannot be right. Shoot, boy,
I mean, to
colorblind.
be fair, it could have been my like plot neighbor or something, you know, he might have been going in there looking for the strawberries, but I didn't like the red ones. They really did like just hide the
Right.
strawberries,
Funny
because the
enough, it's
smell of them's
birds,
so
isn't it?
strong as well.
I've never had, funny enough, I've never out all, you know, I've grown, I've, they've come into the plot somewhere in nasturtium, but I've never had the red ones. I know exactly which ones. They're a lovely deep red, but I've never.
Stunning. I like throwing, because they self-seed so well. What am I looking for? Self-seed so well. I like throw in a proper variety every year, and then they like interbreed with the ones you get. So then you get these mad splash colors the next year. And this year I've got purple emperor, which is a pink one. Can you see
Great
that?
name.
Not
Great
really.
name.
And then there's rumba mix, which is like a red and an apricot. And then I've got black velvet, which is that really, really dark red one. So I'm just going to chuck them down in the fruit cage and let them come up, and then move them on.
Jess, do you never get a little bit, because I do get, you know what I mean, like a little bit kind of anxious when things are starting to take over. Do you know what I mean? And nasturtium, they can grow like, do you just let things just go wild? You know what I mean?
Back and back, if you, yeah, like,
I get a bit kind of,
yes.
you know what I mean? It's like, I like it neat and, you know what I mean? Not
Yeah,
orderly.
nasturtium's probably not your best mate if you don't like the neat. Like maybe stick with the Tagetes, little rose.
Nice straight row, you know what I mean? No, I'll put them in me compost bin. Do you know what I mean? So, or did you grow nasturtiums over there then? Can
I do.
is that
I
what they're
do.
called over there? Are they, are we still
They
talking
are called. I
all the
was going
same?
to ask what a tajit is,
It's a little
because
bit.
that's not a word I know.
Tagetes
Tiny marigold.
are French marigolds.
Oh, so they're just smaller.
They're quite
The stronger smelling, do you think, or?
from plant. You've got calendula and tagetes are the two marigold. Their common name is marigold, French marigold, and normal marigold.
Oh, so
They look.
for you, a calendula is a marigold.
A pot marigold.
It's a pot,
Pot marigold.
Okay.
I always think of Tagetes as the mini ones, but it's not. That's
The little ones.
they are so cute. Signet marigold is
They're
the one for
so beautiful.
those. The mini Tagetes like they're so cute. I think that's what you had in your tunnel, actually, Tony. The mini ones.
I cannot. I know I got the seeds from Premier Seeds direct. You know, I just ordered. You know, I just kind of put in the search engine, marigold. You know, Tajits and marigolds, and that's what's them
Ooh.
ones, Mark?
They're marigolds from Premier Seeds Direct.
Oh,
They
that's probably all
also
right.
say they're Tagetes on the packet, so two packets both saying the same thing.
And you get how many seeds do you get in there, Mark? What
Oh,
what's
there's blooming. Well, you can see them. There's blooming millions of them. They might not look it, and there's
They're a weird
those ones
seed
there.
looking thing, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? They're a
Two different
little
colours, aren't they? And
arrowheads.
they're quite long, aren't they?
So, JB, what are you wanting out of this kind of, we'll call it a flower experiment for the top row. You know what I mean? What do you want out of it?
I like the idea of having 10 new flowers that I'm gonna try, or not necessarily new, but 10 that I'm definitely gonna stick to trying to grow on the allotment this year. Because I normally do a few, and every year I have a few more. I've got some Rudbeckia, some Verbena I really love, and I'm quite lax. I just go with the polyculture, just chuck them in the bed, little bit of flowers growing in amongst the veg. I think it's quite nice. I always have loads of calendula because they're so easy. The pot marigold just go, and they self-seed. They just turn into a carpet. So down my main kind of walkway down to the polytunnel, I always just have a row of calendula either side, and it's just love it. They're really early as well. You know, you get that first little explosion of color. I think that's about it for what I normally do. So I like the idea of having 10 that I'm going to try this year. And we've got to talk about dahlias or dahlias as well, haven't we? So
yes.
They're like Soph's favorite. And I was thinking as well, like when I think about flowers that I've seen on allotments in particular, is dahlias. Like dahlias and marigolds are pretty much, if you walk around most allotment sites, they might be the only two that you see.
Most common. I think something that'd be really interesting for if people did want to sort of dabble in dahlias outside of buying the tubers and doing all that. A thing with dahlias is when you buy the tuber, they're standard to the color that you see, and they won't differentiate from that. But if you sow the seeds, you kind of like you get anything. You don't know really what you're going to get. So it might be fun that everyone tries a different dahlia seed, and then we can all see what we get.
That's cute.
You might get a different sport of something, and then you can have your own sort of variety of dahlia. So that's one thing I'm going to do this year anyway. I'm going to sort of mess around with some dahlia seeds as well as tubers.
So will if I sow a seed, Soph, will it come to this year for a flower?
Yeah, it should do.
Yeah?
Should do.
Yeah?
Yeah. You won't get much of a tuber. Maybe by the end of the year, you might get a teeny tiny tuber that you'd have to protect if you wanted to carry on that same variety of dahlia that you've grown. But I think I did it the first year I started growing, and I got a flower out of mine.
So you have to, am I right? Again, naive, but I'll ask the question. You've got to dig up the tubers and dry them over winter?
You don't have to. It depends on your growing situation. If you've got enough of a material that you can heavily mulch your ground and make sure it's protected from frost, then you absolutely don't have to. But if you are a little bit worried about sort of you think your ground's going to freeze over quite harshly, absolutely dig them up. I did this year, but I don't think I'll do that next year because it is quite a laborious task. And then you have to sort of baby them until it's time now to start waking them up again. And in between that time, they could go moldy. They could just rot away. And you've got to then have all that space for storing them. I just wouldn't do it again. Just leave them next time and just heavily mulch.
Well, that's funny enough. I've just been using some like horse bedding on my, on the, you know what I mean? So you could
probably love that.
Uh huh. I know my mum used to grow dahlias. Do you know what I mean? And I remember, anyone remember Steve's video? He bought some. And they were like the worst, like, and he was starting mad. And he was kind of, in his video, I always remember him throwing them back in his little tub. Do you know what I mean? And he wasn't happy with the thing. And that's a good one, I guess, as well, one reason for me to do it. You know what I mean? Steve was right into the flowers as much as, you know what I mean? And I never got it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm hoping, you know, that our three professionals on the bottom here can, you know, inspire her. You know what I mean? Audrey, how else are you going to inspire us?
I was going to ask you if you want to do perennials or annuals. Because, you know, if you do perennials, you plant them once and you can leave them there. But they don't give you that real blast of color that you get from an annual. That's the beauty of the annuals. They're just, the colors are incredible. So have you never grown like a snapdragon?
Yeah. Okay. No.
They're on my list.
That's one for you. Yeah, that's one for you to try, Tony. They're hilarious. They're the best.
And they're beautiful and they talk. You can.
I'm sure I heard gasps there when I went, no. Have you grown any snapdragons?
Yeah, well, no, I've bought plugs. I've never grown one from seed, but there are some on there, but they're Jess's. They're not mine. I can't take credit. But we have started some in a tray under the grow light.
What does it look like then, Audrey, a snapdragon?
Well, it's a tall, spiky. It's not spiky. It's pointy.
Spike's good. Spike, yeah.
And then it has these little flowers.
Right.
No, there you go.
There you go.
And you can
boyo.
This one I made.
We both got the same.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so if you pull up one of the little flowers, you can talk with them. Oh, they actually
right.
They move like a little mouth. They're very cute.
They're good.
I need to see that on a video this year, Tony.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I need to see you talking to an empty rhino.
I'll do like a Romeo and Juliet little production.
And then it goes to a last poor Yorick at the end where they all turn into skulls.
Yeah, that's it. Tony, you need to see the seed pods. They're the funniest things. They look like, Jesse just said, like screaming skulls almost.
Did you sort of grow them last year then, did you?
Yeah, they're really fun. Do you know what? I don't know if we'll touch on it. Maybe it's a good segue. But they're brilliant for winter sowing, if anyone's doing winter sowing, because they like a bit of the cold and they grow really quite well in the jugs. That's how I grew them last year. They're really good.
What do you mean the jugs? Like what Audrey does, them plastic jugs, and leave them outside.
Leave them outside. Yeah, I just literally left outside, went back like 3 months later and was like, oh, lovely. That's job done. Didn't have to think about it.
Have you had much like self-seeding from them? Because I've bought a plant. The reason that I'm keen to have a go at them this year from seed is I bought a plant. You know, like at the end of the season where there's the sad looking plants that have stopped flowering in the garden centre, it was like a quid or something. And I bought one, stuck it in the front garden, which is just, it's like barren landscape out there of gravel. It's really dry and awful. This thing's just magnificent. And it's self-seeded like all the way in all the difficult patches of the garden, like at the back there against the wall where there's like no water and freezing cold frost pocket. And they're just wonderful. They're growing away really happy.
I was blown away because last year was the first year I was saving seed. And although the variety I had was an F1 variety, I'm just curious to see what it'd come back as anyway. So I saved the seed from it. The amount of seed you get from literally one spear from the flower is insane. And I think I've brought so many different varieties from Chiltern seeds, and you probably get like 25, £3. From this one little spike, I probably got over 300 plus. I don't even know, they're so small you can't really count them, but filled envelopes and envelopes with these seeds. So I imagine they're quite good at self-seeding because they just, there's so much of it and they just go everywhere. But they're brilliant. Once you buy a variety you like, and if it isn't an F1, then just save the seed, don't buy it again. So good for seed.
Audrey, let's see annuals. Let's see annuals for, you know, I want some nice bright color. Do you know what I mean? I want to. Where would I start?
I think a stock is a good one, which kind of is.
JB's nodding there. I'm sure he hasn't got a clue.
Oh no!
I have comments. Stock
is beautiful. Stock is beautiful. Larkspur is kind of stock looking, but a little trickier to start than stock is. Stock is almost like a marigold to me, like it just comes. I know you've grown Cosmos, but they have a lot of wonderful colors of Cosmos. I'm just trying to look here at my database as we're talking.
How big do the stock ones grow? Stalk ones?
Depending on variety, but they'll go like 12, 18 inches.
All right, right.
Yeah, and they have different, you know, varieties that'll do either be a little bit smaller or a little bit bigger.
I like the idea, mind you, of, I think we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, of like sowing them in rows in me, like in me beds. And I like that idea. And I also like the, nothing to do with companion planting. I'm not kind of worried about that, but I would like, you know, just say cabbages, then flowers, then, you know, how you're seeing like some like garden magazines are always looking, you know, it looks so, that's what I'm aiming for. So like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. So
no, they'd be beautiful like that.
I did find those Cosmo, and I remember Steve again mentioned, he says they'll grow big, Tone. You know what I mean? And some of them are coming up.
They do.
They're a big.
That's why they're a good cut flower though, because the stem is there. You can get a really good stem on them. Yeah. So that's why they're probably one of the most common.
I also like to put amaranth in my raised beds. And depending on what style you grow, I mean, they can get 3 feet tall, and then their pods come down like dreads. I mean, they're just gorgeous.
They are. They're just something gorgeous to see. They're really good.
They really are spectacular. And you only need like one or two plants to really make an impact.
And are these annuals then, Audrey? Are they like, so I can?
They are annuals, yes.
We in the potty mouth world can kind of sow them now.
Yes.
When would we sow them? Because we're, you know, February.
I have 10 jugs outside so far. And larkspur and stock are two of the plants that are out there.
Right.
And so is the amaranth. The amaranth went out yesterday. And they're beautiful. Have you grown poppies? Poppies are, want a, you know, real pop of color. Poppies are crazy beautiful.
In the olden days, Audrey, honestly, I'd cut them down, I'd pick them, and I'd hoe them. You know what I mean? Because it was...
You can get fancy ones now, though.
Oh, I
really
mean,
fancy.
Yeah. I totally. But I always remember, you know, like just battling with like wild poppies. You know what I mean? Thinking I just want like a tidy garden. You know how like Jess can just kind of let it grow, let it come out. You know, I've got to get over a couple of hurdles before I can kind of, you know what I mean, get to that. But it was like,
well, poppies are a little more flowy and. You know how they move. I don't know if they do as good in a straight line as maybe a stock would or a calendula would, but they're beautiful the way they just blow in the wind.
Not a great cut flower though. Like no. You'd be lucky if you got them home, let alone into a vase.
Yeah, they do not last.
Also, they'll just peel over after you.
They're looking absolutely magnificent, and you cut the stem and you walk 2 meters up a plot and it's lost all its petals. Like, you've got nothing.
No, they're not.
Seed pods in the winter, like in the autumn. I've still left a load of mine with the seed pods on, and they're just so nice at this time of year. Really, really pretty.
And if you get the bread seed variety, I mean, they're like huge pods. They're beautiful.
What did you say there, Audrey? Bread seed.
Bread seed. Just a kind of poppy,
right?
And they have a beautiful center that when the petals fall off, you have this really cool, like architectural
Greek vase or something.
They're beautiful, beautiful.
See, it's still, you know, like we're talking like the word like self seeding. It's still hard for me to spot a self seeded. What I can kind of tell a poppy, you know what I mean? From a weed.
Yeah.
And how long do you leave it before you think that's a weed? That ain't, you know what I mean? This is where I'm kind of struggling. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
well, so you confuse weeds with poppies?
Anything or any kind of self seed.
If it's not a vegetable, he's going to have
it
out.
Specifically planted it there.
I'm going to
say. When I was talking about transplanting weeds accidentally last time, it's the, I grow like Nigella, you know, like Love in the Mist. And we only probably put it in once, but it is now everywhere.
So
and it comes up in like, you know, like literally carpets of it. And you can take like a whole clump and break it into bits. And but I've also got a new weed that's blown onto the plot that looks really, really similar to it. So that's what I had kind of carefully moved across. And then as it got to about this tall, I was like, oh, damn it.
All right. So you've actually been transplanting weeds
last year. I did, yeah. This new, you know, when a new weed comes onto your plot, it's just like really offensive. You're like, oh, what is this? And that's that we've got that now.
So weed for me just seems to smother every, you know, bit of soil, you know what I mean? So I never, like I say, even maybe the flowers might not come through, you know what I mean? Mark, any thoughts? Are you?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of other ones that I'm doing, and one that I'm gonna group these two together that might not sound like they should be together, but sweet peas and lupins. So I think a lot of us are already doing sweet peas, and I think there's three reasons I've got these two. One is they attract pollinators, which obviously is fantastic for your fruit and veg that you're growing. The other is the nitrogen fixes in the soil, like normal peas and beans and things are. They'll fix nitrogen into the soil for you. And the third thing is, and I only found this out earlier today, and it seems quite obvious when you think about it. So when I was looking at the allotment where I'm going to put my sweet peas, and I'm like, oh, it's going to cast a shadow because obviously they're going to grow really tall, but hopefully they're going to grow really tall. And lupins, even dwarf lupins, grow to like a meter and a half. They grow really, really tall. So like use the shade to your advantage. So if you want to grow like, if you're growing like lettuce or spinach or something like that, grow the lupins in between them, and they're just going to provide that natural shade over your sort of leafy greens. So again, the way I'm going to have my sweet pea set up, I'm going to have two pallet collars and then arches going in between them. So there's obviously going to be space behind where the sweet peas are. So just fill that up full of leafy greens, and it's going to provide that like natural shade to look after them. So don't bolt like dead quickly, you know, during the peak of the summer.
Great idea.
Mark's been doing his research.
Yeah, I'm going to have to move Mark down under the bottom. Wow, that's a good. That's a great. Actually, you know, climbing flowers as well. I've never even thought. You know what I mean? Of trailing flowers, climbing flowers, whatever. You know,
because I was like, the shade's a bad thing. But then when you actually read about it, look into it, use the shade to your advantage. Stick the lettuce under the shade and then, you know, it's absolutely spot on.
I have a question on lupins. Someone mentioned recently that they're really vulnerable to slug damage. And we've got a load. Once again, it's one of the ones under the blue light there. What? How do you cope with it? How do you save a lupin from getting munched by a slug?
You just asked the $65 million question.
Everyone's thinking, you do this.
You import one of those leopard slugs who eat other slugs, and you let him take
and
care
lash
of it.
Lash it to the edge of your lupin so that it can't leash. Go anywhere else.
Yeah,
so far in my life, I have never managed to get a lupin past about this big. And not have it just eaten off at the bottom by slugs.
Can you keep it in pots to get quite big?
No,
and then
I've tried them in pots. Oh. I've tried them in the ground. I've tried buying them as big plants, spending loads of money. Tried them from... Because when we first took on the allotment, there was wild lupins everywhere. They were incredible. It was absolutely beautiful. Like those blue ones, you know, the ones that sort of are the bog standard wild one. And then from the moment that the allotment was cleared, we've never been able to grow another one. I've tried so many times. I've tried in other people's gardens. I've tried in mine. I just can't do it.
So managing expectations.
Two allotments up from me, there is a lupin that's really well established, and it gets to about nearly 2 meters tall every year and flowers wonderfully. Why doesn't she have any slugs? I don't know. Mm-hmm. She must just cover a 2 square meter area with slug pellets, just like a blue mat. Yeah,
a nice mulch.
No, I've heard they're really invasive too.
That's what I had a comment the other day saying if you get those going, you won't ever get rid of them.
Seeds.
Oh yeah, because apparently the seeds they produce just go everywhere.
We
so
can dream.
If you really can get one established, you got them for life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've not grown them for that reason.
I'd rather them over child.
I'm kind of between Jesse and Tony. I like things neat and tidy, but I also like it a little fluid as it grows. So I thought, I don't know that I want those all over the place. So I've not grown those.
I didn't realize slugs and snails would be, I was thinking flowers would be like not on the radar. So they're just as vulnerable to the... Audrey, you've sold us a lie.
What? No, I don't have problems with slugs over here. I think we've had that conversation.
I'm signing off now.
Not enough.
I don't. When I found a leopard slug last year, and I thought, oh my gosh, they're horrible. And I thought, now I know what you guys are always talking about. It was
outrageous.
Just horrible, and it was under like a rock, and you know, and then I found out it was like a cannibal slug eater, and I thought, well, let's put this one right back because maybe there's others where he came from. But yeah, I don't have trouble with slugs. Sorry.
Flowers bring new pests as well. So earwigs are ones that I could not get rid of last year, and they creep me out so much.
Oh,
they're
disgusting.
Just too quick. Oh, cannot get rid of them. Horrible things.
You're hitting nerve there.
I quite like earwigs. They're like woodlice for me.
Oh, they're like scorpions, man.
You like woodlice,
isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, woodlice are adorable. They're my favorite.
No,
I've never heard that in the same sentence before. Woodlice are adorable.
Yeah, they are, especially the ones that roll up into a little ball. They're proper pill.
Woodlice is awesome. It's the earwigs. Oh,
apparently you can eat woodlice. Apparently they're part of the crustacean family. Apparently they taste like prawns. Not that I've tried them. I've only seen it on the TV. But if anybody wants to try one, can
the little roly poly things?
Yeah,
is that what? Okay.
I think you called them pill bugs. I think that's it.
We call them roly polies.
Oh,
I've heard roly polies.
John, we're just talking about slugs and you not having any slugs. I was like, I think I'd probably prefer the slugs than the 17-year locust invasion that you've got coming your way.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm already, I saw some video and I'm scared for what's coming.
I'm scared for you. Year. Yeah. I keep thinking about it.
No, it's that'll keep me up at night thinking that they're all out there.
Well, do you know how long it lasts for? Like, do you know?
I guess they're out for the season. Goodness. And then they breed and go back underground for another 17 years.
Oh, bizarre. Do they eat everything? Will they just come like eat flowers and veg and I don't know?
Apparently, they're like locust. I'm going to say, let's go back to Bible times. Yeah, it's like the locust came in and took everything out. Yeah, so we will see what happens to the garden this year. Because we used to have a home couple doors down that had like 50 trees in their backyard. So we're sitting on our deck having dinner and the cicadas are, I mean, it's so loud. You can almost not hear each other. And I think this is not even one of the bad years. So we shall see.
Nice.
Yeah.
Send us a video. If you have to send us a video so we can
I'll
see
at least
it.
Send you sound. I don't know that I would get close enough to them to send you a video.
Even could you have to keep all your windows shut as well? Like, they will they try and get inside?
New nightmare.
Okay, now I'm horrified.
Oh, yeah, I'm horrified. Tonight.
My first thought is like
trying to come inside my home. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to sleep till next winter.
Hey, let's get back to pansies, right? Pansies. Do you, Audrey? Do you have pansies? Is that what you call pansies over there? Or
yes, we have pansies.
Yeah. Yes.
He's so insane, Tony.
No, just it's well, sometimes you say something to Audrey and like
pillage, get a dumbfounded look like, what are you talking about? We have pansies, yes.
Are most flowers then susceptible to some sort of bug, insects, soap? Is I was thinking I'm getting away with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I think the main one that just devastates veg and flowers is aphids, isn't it? I really struggled just last year. Dahlias gets horrible earwigs and my roses were just inundated with black fry and aphids. And it's just one of those things. It's a horrible, you have to keep coming out every day to get rid of them. And then within an hour, they're back. I think flowers do tend to come with their own set of pests that you have to deal with.
Gross. Okay. Not quite cabbage butterflies.
Mm-hmm. No, so, nothing to that level.
You know,
right? Yes. All right.
It's more like sucking sap bugs rather than eating the leaves and petals, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a bit of a balance, isn't it? Because a lot of the flowers are more likely to bring in beneficial insects. I think, you know, especially the ones to target if you're looking to bring beneficial insects in is like the umbellifers. Things with the really small flowers, usually things like yarrow, dill,
alyssum,
verbena, that kind of thing.
And alyssum smells so pretty.
It's got all the tiny little clusters.
Yeah, you just brush that, and it smells beautiful. Also, maybe echinacea. That's a perennial, and you'll get some nice bright color with echinacea.
Hmm.
That might be a good one.
So now, or when is our like window?
Oh, my echinacea's out in a jug right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And could I just sow them now, Audrey, and like put a little bit of heat on and then put them out in May?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Because
I think if you started them now, you'd at least get a nice sized plant by then.
Right. So I'm hoping, you see, most of the plants, you know, I can sow now or within this next month and then take up the allotment.
Yeah, and you can get plants out much earlier than we can.
Mm-hmm.
So you have more wiggle room there in your spring. You have a nice spring. You kind of have a longer spring. We don't have that, so it's a little more of a, a waiting game to when you get your stuff out in the spring. Mm-hmm. But you could get those because they're perennials. They'll take a bit of cold and some frost.
Is there anything sorry, Jesse. Is there anything that's absolutely not worth sowing now? Like it's completely the wrong time of year, like between now and March. What are the sort of things that people should be avoiding?
Anything tender, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't plant my zinnias.
Tender annuals. Yeah.
I was just about to ask about zinnias. When are you putting them in?
Yeah, I wouldn't plant those. I wouldn't even start. I'm not going to start those till maybe April.
Okay.
Because those can go out quite small and they'll grow so quickly once they're out. Maybe even like a straw flower. I don't know if I'd start that one yet.
See, I've never heard of that. Straw flower?
I've seen straw flowers.
They're beautiful. They look like they're dried, even though they're not. So when
the sound of them is incredible.
It's crispy.
Yeah,
it's crispy.
Are they good for drying? I think they're quite good for drying as well, aren't they?
Drying. Yes, they're beautiful for drying.
Don't lose any of their color. They
look exactly like they did when they were alive.
They're amazing.
They're like very jewel toned as well, aren't they? Very pretty.
Yes, super shiny as well. Like they almost look like beetle shells. Like they're little pointy bits. They're amazing flowers.
I love that. You're right. I love the sound of them. They're just crunchy.
Get them on the list, Soph. Get them on the list. So we'll have to have actually little dates wrote on Soph as well, like, you know, a little guide, you know what I mean? Because it's getting a little bit complicated for us newbies at the top.
Well, and most of your seed packets will give you a little indication, like, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before your last frost, 12 weeks, which we're almost all past 12 weeks at this point.
Ish.
Ish. Oh, Mr. Scott,
you're slightly different.
Okay. Ish. Maybe. Maybe another week or two.
This year.
What was
is
that, Jeff?
Is anyone growing sunflowers this year?
I used to until Tony said they were horrible.
Well, someone told me, and then I actually could physically see veg plants. What was it?
Alleliopathy.
Something happened. Which was the actual?
Oh, was it? Yeah, I remember last year, Tony. What happened?
Some sort of chicory I was growing, and you could physically see crappy little plants. You know, then bigger, nicer ones at the back of the bed. You know, and Audrey gave us them seeds. It was had them all over the bloody shop. She nearly killed me bloody garden, man.
Well, and honestly, I really wonder. We talked about this last week, I think. Is it the fact that it's a sunflower? Or is it the fact that it's a bigger rooted plant that's taking more of the nutrition and water from the bed than what the little teeny chicory is taking?
Yeah, you're probably spot on there. Because Audrey, when I was actually taking them down, I mean, the root balls on some of them were like, they were moving me beds. Do you know what I mean? They're like, they're a big, you know, if they get established, whatever, which ones I was got off here, they were like a lemon colored one.
Lemon queen. Those are big sunflowers.
Oh, big mother chuckers it went off. And like I say, if ones that, you know, some were like piddly little things, but a couple of them like really got established with like stalks like that. You know what I mean? It's like,
see, I think that's like planting something by a tree. The tree is going to get the nutrition and the water first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
I might do your dwarf sunflower. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of keep things in the control.
Oh, and they're adorable. They're adorable and they're pretty and they're happy looking. And
make good cut flower as well.
Yeah.
Micro sun is a really good variety if you wanted to try. Just like it comes up in a bush and you just get loads of little ones. It's really cute. Like still decent sized heads are probably about that big.
Micro sun, did you say?
Micro sun, yeah. Micro. You usually get them from Marshalls.
The list will be in Discord.
I got my notes here.
I like the idea of JB's thing though. Like 10 is a nice kind of
manageable.
For, you know what I mean? Just like not to get out of hand, and you know.
You guys are so practical. Oh my god, get out of hand a little bit.
Okay, like 150,000.
Get wild.
My list has grown to 101 currently. I ordered more.
Goodness. Is that including all the different varieties of certain flowers?
Yeah, that's different varieties, annuals, biennials, all of them.
And are you so? I mean, that just sounds like mind-bogglingly, like over the top.
I'm thinking it sounds fabulous.
I know you've got a huge
allotment. I'm all with you, Sophie. It sounds fabulous.
Are you intending to kind of grow all them then, Sophie? Are you?
I'm trying to rein it in. My main thing I want to do is different varieties, all of maybe the same plant. So, for example, this year I will be doing a lot of cosmos. I'm looking and I've already got like 10 different varieties of cosmos, snapdragons, zinnias, dahlias, and then just like a variety of different foliages. So loads of different varieties, and I'll probably only do one or two plants of them. So I'm just experience them all and see what I like and I don't like. I'm trying to rein it in a bit, but it's impossible. So I see a new one, I'm like, oh, that would look nice. Or I can use that one. I really want to grow that. So we'll see what survives. It's going to be survival of fit.
You'll have to put sort of your list, not just our list here, what we're talking about, your list.
Yeah,
in.
I want to see your list.
That list sounds impressive.
I have got, I tell you, so zinnias, if anyone's interested in zinnias, get the Zinderella ones. I'm pretty sure people would have seen them. They're kind of like scabiosas.
Yeah, they're cute.
Yeah, the lilac, and they now do peach.
We'll have to sort Jess's light now.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, they're really cute.
And then cosmos, a really nice one that I've seen that I'm really excited to grow this year, called Pop Socket. I don't know if you've seen that. So you get like the frilly back bit, but then it's kind of all congested in the middle. Okay. It's like frilly. It's like frilly in the middle. I'll do the whole list, but I've got some really cool varieties that I'm just so excited to see.
Yeah, I have one of those. It's called a double decker. So it has, it has the regular petals, and then it's like a crown with petals coming out of the crown.
Yeah. So it's pretty much the same thing.
I'm very excited to try that one. I think it looks really cute.
Yeah.
I like that idea, Soph, mind you, of like doing like a certain plant with different, you know, colors of it, for want of a better description. Do you know what I mean? I quite like that. You know what I mean?
Colors, though, like textures, like different, all the different shapes. So all the cosmos I got, they all look different. So like, cupcake ones. I don't know if you've seen the cupcake ones. They literally look like a cupcake shell.
They do.
Yeah,
they look
brilliant.
Like cupcake papers. They're so cute.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So there's just so many beautiful. Different ones. So even if it's just one variety of flower you choose, just get all the different kind of varieties of it and go with that. It's just, you can still make a decent floral arrangement if that's your goal. Brilliant.
Have you got the really small cosmos, like the orange and yellow ones? There's a variety of cosmos which has these really like long spindly stems and tiny little like cosmos flowers on the end of it. I had it in the back garden, not last year, the year before. It was so pretty. It was really, really sweet. I can't think what it was called, actually. I might be able to find it.
Do you remember where you brought them?
I'm just going to have a look.
Did you sow them from seeds, Jess, did you?
I did, yeah. Small orange.
I must admit, Cosmo is it's the one that I've grown, so I'm quite happy with it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can do GB.
I was going to say, you can head, do that one. You know what
I mean?
Yeah.
I'm very special. Easy. They're I'm really qualified, easy. Isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's so like nice, cosmos, because you get so much out of it. Just one little transplant and it just explodes.
But another thing to put on everyone's... Sulfurous.
S-U-P-H.
Let me write it down.
Same shape flower as, you know, a classic cosmos flower, but just much, much smaller and on these really like spindly stems. So they all look like they're kind of doing this separately and they were really lovely.
What height did they grow then, Jess, them ones?
Not enormous. I'd say about 2 foot. Right. But like the growth of the plant is like quite a long way from the flower, if you know what I mean. Like they're quite...
And are you, nice looking things. Jess, you know, I'm kind of aiming this at you where, you know, you're quite happy with... Are you happy with... plants are coming over onto your path, so you've got to kind of, I'm saying, get wet when you walk past them in the rain and stuff. Are you quite happy with?
I mean, there's a balance to be had, because if it was my choice, they'd be just like everywhere. And Mum likes a very neat edge. So between us, we sort of negotiate and it kind of comes off somewhere in the middle. But yeah, I'm quite pro just things flopping over. As long as my grass is neat at the edge. Because if they flop over and then there's grass and wood, like the dampness is just like slug heaven. Mm-hmm. So as long as you keep those edges tidy, like it's nice.
That one is, it's highly invasive in the US, apparently. So not one for Audrey.
Oh, maybe Audrey can stay away from
the cosmos. But they look amazing.
Oh, no. I'll have a look in a bit.
We've, well, we haven't talked about daisies yet. I mean, that's a whole, you know.
Talking of invasive, stay well away from oxeye daisies.
I was about to say how much I love them.
Oh, God. I grew, this is in fact the seed packet that I grew last, 2-3 years ago now. I sowed a couple and dotted them around and I cannot get rid of them. They are in everything. They're in every bit of compost I sow. They're in, they're all like pulling up underneath the polytunnel. They're all stuck in the lining of the pond.
Nice.
They've like even self-seeded in the pot with the water lily. So they're like pushing the water lily out of the pond. They're horrible. Buggers, stay away from them.
There's, for the biodiversity interested people, there's a specific tiny little fly that's only associated with oxeye daisies, which I just enjoy as a little fact.
I must have a wild population of them.
Yeah, you've got loads.
I like the Livingston daisies, you know, the ones that open and close. So at night they close and during the day they open up.
Oh, is that like the osteopermum?
Yes. They're lovely. Yeah, I love having them all over the place. They're brilliant.
African daisies, I think they're.
Yeah,
I love African. The African daisies are beautiful.
I think I'm the last of the class here. Do you know what I mean? Like, what about the class?
Yeah, don't sat on.
I don't know if you two just got words written on the screen that you don't even know, but you can read them.
We've not even talked about edibles yet either. So we're like borage, where you can get the little. Is it like the flowers taste like cucumber? Well, you see them in, you know, if you go to a fancy bar and you get like a fancy gin and tonic, they've got the flowers in an ice cube and they go inside and taste all in cucumbery and what was it, nasturtiums that we were talking about before. You can eat them in the, apparently they're the lovely seeds, nasturtium seeds, you can
I keep can't them wait to do that this year,
pickle them, yeah, and they taste like capers. They've got a really
they
salty,
they don't taste anything like capers. They look like capers.
It's fake news.
Don't.
Fake news.
You've done that, Jesse? You know how strong a nasturtium leaf tastes?
Yeah.
It's like that. Like this much of that condensed into a tiny little ball like that. That if you put it, like it just explodes right up the back of your nose and like permeates through your eyeball.
Oh, wow.
You don't taste anything like a caper, but they're delicious.
You should try that, Tony. You should definitely try that.
See, Jimmy, that challenge sounds like what we should try to eat instead of chilies.
Yeah, station seeds.
Sounds like a mustard wasabi thing going on.
Yes.
So if I've got any
bowl of set like file wasabi, it's good.
Why does everyone say that they taste like capers then? Are they just lying or did you have some
called,
strong ones?
They get called poor man's capers.
Yeah.
And they're small and green. And if you put them in vinegar and salt, they taste like vinegar and salt, like a caper does. But they don't, they, it's like a caper that's had a quite intense relations with a massive amount of wasabi.
There you go. That's
like, you know, capers are like just salty and vinegary and really it's like it's definitely a nasturtium pretending to be a caper.
Brilliant.
Anything else, Sofa, we can dive into as newbies or anyone?
Yes, just as important as your flowers, if, again, depending on what your goal is for growing flowers, it could just be to look nice in your allotment, that's fine. But if you are doing cut flowers, start thinking about growing your grasses as well. So anything that you can use as your sort of accents or your foliage. So a really cool one that I'm going to do this year is celosia, which I guess technically is a flower rather than a grass, but it's one called flamingo feathers.
That's a beautiful one.
Oh, they're great.
I grew that last year. That's gorgeous.
Yeah. Think about your grasses.
So does it grow just like, you know, in the grasses from a garden centre? Or is it like, imagine like grass, like a lawn grass? Is it a grass?
No, they're just When I say grasses, I mean foliages. So basically anything that's green and you can take like just like the stems from it or the branches from it. I'm not sure what the right terminology is. So for example, like that tomato I showed you guys, which is like variegated, I'm going to grow that, and I'm just going to take the vines off it and use those as like different accents to a floral arrangement. So anything you can use like that. Another good one is bunny tails. I don't know if you guys have seen those. They're like teeny tiny.
I'm just going to do what GB does. Oh, right.
They're so cute. Those are so cute, and they're so soft.
They're so soft.
They're like little bunny tails. They're so cute.
So they're really cool. So just start thinking about if you are doing stuff for floral arrangements and bouquets, and maybe start thinking about the other stuff outside of flowers that you're going to add to it. And it doesn't even have to be for growing. I'm going to start thinking about certain areas I can go to potentially forage stuff. So if there's any places that I know that's got some thistles, I might go and wait until they're dried out and go get myself some thistles. Obviously don't overtake anything. But yeah, just start thinking about those little things is quite important, because that's something I really wish I did last year. Because I just had like this whole vase of dahlias, and I was like, that's nice, but it's kind of meh. I want to add things into it. So I'm going to do that this year.
Have you ever grown gay feather?
No.
What are you laughing at, Jimmy?
Nothing. I'm saying nothing.
I got given some seed at Christmas for gay feather, which is like, I think it's like it's a strap leaf.
Does it sort of like cascade over, kind of like a pamper?
I think so. I'm just going to have a quick look, but I think it's, I might not search gay feather.
It's also known as blazing star.
LIATRIS.
Let me write these
down. It's almost like a toad flax. Like the
blazing. Yeah, blazing star. But apparently you can use its foliage, like before the flowers come out, you can use... Where have you gone?
Oh, I see.
So like you can use... Bulb. Just as the flowers are about to come out, they've got like this really good like opposing foliage, and apparently you can use...
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. That. They're really... If anyone Googles that, they're really cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
Don't Google what gear... What was it called?
Gay feather.
It might get something totally different. You know what I mean? Sophie, can I just rewind you back there to what you said about it? There was a variegated tomato plant. You're just going to grow this tomato plant just for... Not even to bother just with the tomato?
Oh, I might use one or two tomatoes on it, but its main purpose in life for me will be its foliage. I'm hoping... I'm pretty sure... I've not seen anyone use tomato vines, but I imagine they're strong enough to sort of sit upright for a little while. I'm not sure. And then I guess the other thing you've got to think about is how long do they last in a vase? They might not last long enough as everything else I've got going on. And also, I don't know how you condition them. So it will all just be a massive experiment to see how it lasts.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the good thing about it, though? It's just like, just try it. You know, like,
exactly
what you said. You know, you don't want just flowers, because it's like you think flower, but then when you put them in the pot, it's what you've just said there.
You look at it and you go, oh, it's too much. I need some. This is the textures. Like, think of all the different textures you can use. You can even use cosmos, like before it starts to flower. You can use all that foliage because it's all feathery and it's nice. There's another plant which is really cool for sort of dried flower arrangements. It's called the fiber optic plant. Don't know if you've seen it. It's like it's grass.
Yeah, it's a grass.
And
once
it splits from its stem, it kind of just all whispers out into like the fiber, like the little fiber optic lights you get. It looks really nice in sort of dried flower arrangements. Really magical.
Well, another one that looks great in flower arrangements is hairy balls.
What?
You just
don't want to write that one down.
I am not just saying it. I grew it last year specifically for Potty Mouth, and then we, you know, things happen. We didn't do it, but they are gorgeous in a flower arrangement.
Okay. So does it have an official name?
Official name is hairy balls.
I can't.
I'm sure it has some Latin.
You can't even search for that one. You know what I mean?
Well, you can. It might show up. as one of
Jesse's
the Oscars.
Doing it.
Yeah,
no
so the variety I grow is called Oscar.
Do a click on images.
It's beautiful.
Wow, that no, really, really is.
It's stunning.
And
Audrey, that is not always the word.
Gomphocarpus, which is also a good name.
Would they be ones, Audrey, your hairy balls that I could sew now for May, June planting?
Yes, and they grow 5-6 feet tall.
Right.
Mm, wow. So you've got a beautiful long stem and you cut. Okay. And I would say harvest them before they're too.
Behave yourself.
I'm just
gonna
say 6 foot hairy balls.
Them when they're young.
No, it's on a stem and there's probably a dozen hairy balls on each stem. No, seriously, they're beautiful and they're kind of architectural looking, but you harvest them before they're going to seed because once they notice
there's too many words in the sentence here.
You're 12 years old, JB. Now stop.
I'm sorry. JB's dying.
But if you let them go too long, they start to go to seed and then they're useless in it because then they keep going to seed. So you end up with seeds everywhere.
Now, anybody ever see the Phoenix Knights where they
getting bring, worse, out,
they bring out that the bouncy castle? Did anyone ever see that Phoenix Knights where it's a 20-foot fucking balls, man? You know what I mean? It's like, that's what the image I'm getting there with all these hairy balls. You know what I mean?
Oh my! I have picture. I think I put some pictures up on.
We all have to grow these hairy balls.
Yeah, and flame parsnips, hairy balls.
So have a good show and tell at the end. Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect hairy balls.
Yeah. All our videos will be taken down because of the titles. Look at my hairy balls. I've got the best hairy balls in the village.
I've got the tallest hairy balls.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and asters. We haven't talked about asters, have we?
Mm-hmm. Was
another
it
one. Beautiful.
Was it zinnias you give me or your asters?
No, I gave you zinnias and sunflowers apparently and wrecked your whole garden.
Right.
I'm gonna throw mums. I'm writing the list, but I'm gonna throw mums on there as well.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, they're lovely, such good cut flower.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and a stilbe. I'm going to throw that one in there as well, because that's also quite good.
So like I mentioned as well, we'll put this big list in the Discord. So I'll make a new channel, like say a flower special. I'll pin this list to the top. So if anybody wants what we've talked about or Sophie's like giant list, which would be lovely, you know what I mean? So,
well, I'm also making started a channel, Tony, for flowers. I actually started.
All right, right. Well, hopefully I can pin. Just, should be able to pin.
Yeah, you pin it wherever you want it. It's down near the bottom.
I'm not going to pin just it next to the hairy balls. You know what
we're
mean?
Elevating the importance of flowers.
I will. I will right post a photo of hairy balls, just so everyone understands what I'm actually talking about.
Right.
Oh dear.
How long have we been going? Have we been going over
a little while?
Well, I've not even mentioned comfrey as a beneficial flower, one of the main ones. And
the allotment staple.
Yeah, because obviously it's got many benefits. We're making comfrey tea, which by the way, people say it stinks, but until you actually experience it in real life, you just can't believe just how bad it is. It's like you sort of when you get a whiff of it, it's awful.
Is it that bad?
Bees go absolutely crazy for the flowers on it. My plot when the comfrey grows at the edge of it, there's bees everywhere, all over, all the time. They're just there constantly. It's brilliant.
Would you say it's an invasive plant as well? Or
well, I got a particular variety called Bocking 14, which I think it doesn't seed, so it doesn't make seeds and drop, but I think it can re-root underground. But I chop it down quite a lot, so sort of 3 or 4 times a year it gets chopped down and it gets used for... Because I heard Audrey talking about it in one of the potty mouths about doing a chop and drop with it. Chop and drop, yeah, that's right. And using it like that. And I use it in... if I'm filling a raised bed, I'll just chop the comfrey down and fill the bottom layer of the raised bed with the comfrey as well, so it rots down and feeds in the bed. Instead of making tea, because that tea's... Oh, honestly tolerate.
You know, just from what I've heard, I thought there's no way I'm brewing that stuff. Awful. No way.
It's awful.
It's heinous.
It's horrible.
What's the flowers look like, Mark?
Like little purpley blue sort of coloured, sort of tubular kind of flowers. Mm-hmm. But I say it was just the bees. I think because I bought it as the bare root, and it's been in here 2 or 3 years. But last year was the first year it really took off. And there was bees. There was hundreds of them. All this, because you hear the noise first. You hear like, what's that noise? Why is that plant buzzing? And you go over, and there's loads of them. Swarmed, so it's brilliant. It? Yeah.
I was going to say, did you find with yours that it also attracted loads of ladybugs? Like, loads?
Not that I noticed, no, but ladybugs is something I'm a little bit on the short side of, I think, of my plus. So anything that can attract ladybugs in is a good thing. Yeah. So that's another list we need, ladybug plants.
It's a good recommendation for that kind of coming into winter time, is leaving a lot of the flower stems and stuff like that for hoverflies and ladybirds to overwinter in. A lot of people, it depends on your style of gardening, but a lot of people will rip it all out. And that means that any of those beneficial insects are going to have to come back into your plot, you know, from further afield. So if you can, hollow stemmed stuff especially, it's like perfect for little ladybirds to hide in.
But you still got to rip it out though sometime.
No, not always. Sometimes it just starts regrowing from the base.
No, I'm saying if you want to, like, your plot sorted, you've still got to rip out everything to kind of make way for the new. I couldn't leave
it. I leave mine. Oh. I leave my rose. I always get people coming along and say, look at all those weeds. It's like, they'll be back. The calendula will be back. The verbena will be back. I don't cut it back until everything starts waking up.
It's okay. In what way do you cut it back then, JB? How physically do you cut it back? Strimmer it or just...
No, just perisecteurs. If there's stuff that's really dead and it's all definitely not going to come back to life, then you just wait until kind of April, May is normally when I go in, you know, and it's properly warmed up. Everything that's in there would have come out. Mm-hmm. Just secateur it back to the base. And it's probably going to regrow.
Are you still doing your attempt on the meadow? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sort of. One of the things people promote about flower growth at allotments is bringing in vertebrates, and it's the nectar source for, you know, people think of it as a nice way to help wildlife and insects, and it is. Nectar sources are very important. But what is probably more important is that overwintering habitat and food plants for insects and those kind of fundamental key parts of their life cycle. You know, nectar is a very small part of that. So providing it is good, it's nice, and it's always nice to see, you know, your plot buzzing and full of life. But it's actually really important as well to provide those other bits, that those kind of shelter, the untidy bits that look a bit gross. Maybe you want to hide them away, but they're still an important part of that ecosystem that you know, if you want to build one, it's a good idea.
Anything else before I'm sure we've well over the hour there now. Anything else before we wrap up?
I was just going to ask, do you guys have Dusty Miller over there?
Yes.
No, but I know someone at work called Dusty Miller. It's uncanny.
But that's also a really nice filler for a bouquet. And I was thinking, oh, this looks beautiful underneath flowers or in between.
Oh, ragwort.
Yeah. Silver ragwort, yeah.
Oh, is that what it's called? Is that its official? Oh, okay.
It looks very different from normal ragwort.
Yeah. Excuse me. I
think it's called Jacob something or Jacobea. We used to sell it as like doing hanging baskets.
Is it not the same as Cinceraria? Is it not the same as that as well?
Cinceraria, that's a variety of it.
I think that's what I've got.
Yeah. And also previously placed in that genus. It's a beautiful flower to grow. Only it's not a flower. It's a thriller. Would that be a thriller in a bouquet? Yeah, it might be.
I guess.
Well, there's thrillers, fillers. Right? So you kind of have to get a little bit of all of them in there.
The last one that I'd put in as a recommendation that I'm trying for the first time this year is a ranunculus called... what's it called? Fratelli Rose, I think it is, and it looks like a bit like what's it like, apple blossom colors, you know, where it goes from like green to pale apricot to pink.
How tall does it grow, Jess?
Maybe about a foot and a half. It has quite a nice, like, ranunculus often have really like quite thick stems and a bold flower on top, and this is just like a slightly looser version of it, and they've got quite open flowers rather than the really tightly like loads and loads of petals, a bit more open, slightly frilly. They look a little bit like a rock rose, you know, that sort of like a cistus. It's got that sort of look, but it's a ranunculus. They're really sweet.
When did you start yours, Jessie?
Sorry?
When did you start yours?
I haven't started them yet. They're like, you know, the corms.
Yeah. They're funny little corms. They're like little claws, really like that.
But a guy, a couple of allotments up from me, grew them last year, and they were so beautiful. Mm. He's rummaged around and given me a couple of them. So I'm going to...
They are cool. You know, I've put a few in. They've only just started coming up now. But I did... Those are sort of ones I think you can do at 2 points of the year. So I did them in the back end of October. And they're starting to come up now. So they're really cool little things.
Mm.
Like mini roses, some of them.
Yeah.
Right,
I'll
then.
I'll write that down.
That's boggling my mind, because it's the ranunculus is the plant family. And there's like 1,800 plants. But this is a specific... But is it a bulb?
Like a ranunculus in terms of like grown for cut flowers, quite a standard sort of... It's not ranunculaceae or whatever it
yeah,
is. It's
exactly.
Just ranunculus.
Ranunculus, yeah.
Interesting.
But I'll hold it. I've just seen it. It's called Friandine Rose. It is so pretty.
See, I need a list of like, say, 10 plants already, or so, Jess. Ready for me just to kind of maybe sow with it. Obviously, buy from a supplier, sow and put out. That's for the newbie one. I'll put me. JB's a little bit more advanced. Mm. He needs a 10 that are a little bit more specialised.
Oh, then, God.
Then we need another 10 that'll brave the wall.
So we want to put them in categories then, shall we? Need. Do like 10 for like by ease and need.
Yeah. Beginner, intermediate, and expert.
Gold, hard.
Let me work on that.
You know where those dwarf sunflowers, Tony, would look good on your plot is right down the side of your polytunnel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be lovely.
Because they would be there all summer for mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need to worry about them arguing with your tomatoes anymore.
Exactly. They're not even in the ground. So
just next to your hairy balls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Got to have some of those.
Slightly covered in hairy balls. I can't believe that someone's called a flower that. And Audrey's face when she mentioned it was just a straight poker face. Did you not realize you're talking like three immature men here? You know?
Well, when I looked at JB, I was like, you're 12 years old. Oh,
yeah, I really felt like I was back in school.
Yeah. But I really did grout last year for potty mouth. Because I thought that would be a really good conversation starter.
We'll have to do another special. Do you know what I mean? I've got the bloody... The low, you know what I mean? I've got the picture there, so we'll have to have another.
Want to use it again?
Oh, look at that. You do.
Yes. Wow. All AI, Audrey. AI generated there. So it's been ripped from some poor artist, unfortunately.
Some poor starving artist. Yes. Stuff is now on AI.
I'm even using AI for me titles on me. On me things.
Oh, nobody would ever have guessed, Tony.
Yes. Going all right. Going all right. It's actually a video hook generator for a better description. Mm. Mm.
Very fancy.
Well, I've really enjoyed this. It's just like being honestly.
It's a whole new world, isn't it?
Been good.
It is. It's like way out of me, not comfort zone, but way out of me spectrum of, you know, what I'm used to. You know what I mean? So I'm quite itching to try some, do you know what I mean? To get, not obviously nowhere near like Sophie's 100 nods, you know what I mean?
Yeah, silly numbers.
Yeah. I always think it's I was going to disclaim
quickly, because I know what people will say. So don't do it. Don't do all the number, like don't sew that many. Don't worry. I won't. Okay. Don't come at me. I just want to put that out there. Please
go ahead and sew,
Tony.
I'm sorry, Sophie, you go ahead and sew them.
Mm-hmm.
Sew them.
Don't let anybody
do it.
Might as well sew them. You know what I mean? And you've got the bigger, you've got a like a huge allotment, so off. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to grow, you know, 50 of each one. You can grow a few and see what you like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. Totally, just a few of many.
Yeah. Totally with that.
Well, we'll wrap this up now. It's been lovely. Thank you very much, all of you, for kind of jumping on this time as well and, you know, all getting together. It's just been a pleasure. Audrey, where can we find you on YouTube?
At Real Food Comes Dirty.
There you go. Do pop over there and keep an eye, because Audrey's, like you say, the queen mother of the flowers there, and your database website, Audrey, about with that, you know what I mean, it'll be fantastically updated.
Well, and I've got my new stuff coming up now on the website, so
there you go.
It's all up to date. So
lovely. Sophie, where can we find you on YouTube?
You can occasionally find me at the enrollment.
Yes, please.
Every month or so.
Once, twice a month. Yeah, you know,
yeah, give or take.
Thank you. Jess, where can we find you?
On Plot 37.
There we go. Wild and free. On a man wants to tame it back. You know what I mean? Mark, sir, where in the north can we find Mark's allotment plot?
That's it. You'll find me at Mark's allotment plot, now available in 4K.
Oh, yes, with your new pocket
camera.
Three.
Yeah.
Are you still enjoying it? Are you still?
It's brilliant. Honestly, what a piece of kit. It is absolutely fantastic.
I'm waiting for the lad next door to you to bloody get rid of this whole thing.
About time, isn't it?
And JB, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at Naturally JB on YouTube and Instagram.
There we go. Building greenhouses for a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, everyone, big, huge thank you. Thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure and something I've really enjoyed this time. And again, we'll try and get this flower team back, you know what I mean, and do this all over again sometime. Look after yourselves.
Thanks all.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.